wrestling talk show. Can you feel the pain?
Welcome to the Pain Clinic for May 1st, holidays today. There's a few folks, so get ready. It's Hawaiian Lay Day. It's Herb Day. Kentucky Derby Day. Of course, the Kentucky Derby's later today. So if you're a gambling person on the horses, you know, I'm sure you'll be at your local OTD. Loyalty Day. It's 1st of May. It's May Day. Mother Goose Day, National Fitness Day, and Save the Rhino Day. And that really would have been a good thing in Rochester about 4 or 5 years ago when we lost our beloved rhinos. Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire, Culver. Hey, interested in roller derby? You want to be a skater? Officiate? Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join a Rock City Roller Derby. If you're into the men's team, it's Flower City Fear. F-L-O-U-R. FlowerCityFear.com. Welcome to the show today. I'm the Cash Man, your humble host. I'm here with Rob Sanderson, the Artiste. How are you doing this morning, Mr. Artiste?
I'm good. Good morning. Hello. Hello. Still debating how I feel about the Bills drafts and stuff, but yeah, good morning.
Yeah, well, there's no good picks after like 15, so no, I wouldn't worry about it. We're also joined by Furby, who's above Mr. Sanderson, the Artiste, on the squares of knowledge here this week, because you know we do this remotely. I'm downtown. Mr. Sanderson's downtown as well someplace. We know that Furby is out in Hilton. Furbs, what's up, bud?
Not much. Good morning, everybody. It's a nice Saturday morning, and ready to enjoy my weekend in New Jersey.
All right, and we got Danger Boy from Gates, New York, in his Bills cap. It's like, you know, it feels like a very football centric type show today. After, you know, with the drafts and everything.
Well, it's all we got until, you know, the middle of July, late July, when they start training camp, and it's been a long couple days because the Bills are drafting so late in the rounds that it's. It's different for us. We're used to having those earlier picks, so I've had some long nights.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, and who knows? You know, I mean, and nothing is for sure in the draft because, remember, the draft's unproven talent. I always say that, and it's like, you know, you can promote someone as much as you want, but, man, you never know. I mean, listen, I'm a Washington fan. Who did I have as my quarterback the last 2 years? Terrible quarterback from Ohio State. Okay. I'm not going to go any farther than that. We're just going to talk because we're here to talk about the world of pro wrestling. I want to remind you folks before we get too far into this that if you're interested today, Eastview Mall, 2 p.m., Lex Luger is going to be signing autographs. He's going to be there at Heroes. What is it called? Heroes Hideaway? Hideout? No.
Heroes Hideout.
Heroes Hideout. And I wanted to get him on the show to promote it, but Lex did not get back in touch with us. So that's fine. You want to meet him? He doesn't give it away for free, folks. So go on down and visit him at Eastview Mall today. Check out the store. So, you know, at least we got a new place close, you know, to the Rochester area where you can get all your memorabilia, Funko things, and all these other things, crazy stuff. And definitely check it out. So that's today. And, you know, we want you guys to get in touch with us and tell us how it was. You know, I'm going to try to sneak down there when I get off the air. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But beyond that, we're here to talk about the world of pro wrestling. Last week, we spent a long time building up what was going to happen on the Impact pay-per-view Rebellion. We got, we told you we were going to talk about it. Now, unless you looked online, you don't know what happened in the main event when you had Kenny Omega defending the AEW heavyweight title up against the Impact heavyweight title from Rich Swann. And in the end, much like Furby predicted. I think I did as well, that because Kenny Omega,
Rich, the entire world predicted there was no chance of their outcome.
Yeah, you're right. It was Kenny Omega walking away with two titles. And I find that amazing, because obviously there's still a working relationship here going on. They're going to have to be. But what do you guys think about that? I mean, I know, yes, we all thought it was going to happen, but and since it's happened, how has things fallen out in AEW, for instance? Ferbs, how would you go first? What did you think about the match?
Yeah, first of all, the match, I think it just proved that Rich Swann is a star too. Like, maybe not on the same caliber level as Kenny Omega, but Rich Swann can go. I think we all kind of knew that, but he proved that he's main event level. And I really enjoyed the match. I enjoyed the whole card, honestly. But that was the one we were all anticipating and anxiously awaiting for, even though, like, we all kind of knew what the result was going to be. There was still that fat chance that I was hoping that you'd see Omega's shoulders on the mat for the three count. But I mean, overall, bravo. Now, you know, with Omega being the Impact and TNA and AEW and Triple A champ, he's fully cemented the title belt collector.
Yeah, I was going to say, he came out, he has like multiple belts. Well, how about Artis? What do you think of that?
First of all, I just want to say I thought the entire pay-per-view itself was great. One of the stronger pay-per-views from any company in a while. Outcome was predictable, but the match was really good. Couple of little flubs, but for the most part, I liked the match itself. As I complained about last week and before that and stuff, I don't like AEW's failure to acknowledge it properly. And I know that, you know, Dynamite was taped this week, but instead of whatever, the limo segment with Omega or something, like, maybe you just record something with him at Impact and you just insert that into Dynamite. He didn't have to appear live, you know, on tape, whatever, Daly's place with the Impact belt, because we know the logistics of that already being taped and stuff. But I really wish that this was more than a one-sided thing. You've got Blood and Guts coming up, you've got Double or Nothing coming up, and I just don't feel like things are being built up properly. And I feel like AEW has just barely acknowledged it. And it's a really big deal. And it's a big deal for Kenny Omega. Congratulations to him. I mean, obviously wrestling is a work, but to be in a position where all of these companies from all over the world are giving you championships, you're earning it. And it's a really big deal for him to be where he's at right now. So overall, the show was good. Props to Impact. They had a strong week. They had a ton of buys for the pay-per-view. And I think, I don't know anybody that watched the pay-per-view that didn't like it from start to finish. I thought it was, like I said, really solid.
Yeah, it was one of the most purchased pay-per-views since August. And it had 9 times more purchases than Bound for Glory.
Wow.
That's a gigantic stat.
Wow. I mean, that's wow. Danger, what do you think?
And we don't know what that actual number is, but still, 9 times anything and Bound other for, than zero is and, a big
and,
number.
And Bound for Glory.
To be fair, Bound for Glory might have drawn 500 people to buy it. We don't know the numbers. They don't typically do high numbers on their pay-per-views, but still a huge impact that it was 9 times what they normally get or what they got for their biggest show, their WrestleMania.
Yeah, I was going to say Impact, if Impact Wrestling, Bound for Glory is their Mania. I will say, yeah, this is solid matches. You know, we got to see a lot of defenses. And, you know, Kenny Omega walks out the big champ on AEW this past week. We got a graphic with him with the Impact title on his shoulder. Not much said about it, though. I mean, you know.
Yeah. I wonder how the Impact roster feels. Like, they have to be very happy that they had a strong pay-per-view. They had a lot of buys. But also, you're kind of in a situation now where your world champion doesn't really work there. Your tag team champions don't really work there. One half of your knockout tag team champions just got there last week. Yeah. Like, for everybody that's putting in the work all the time, I don't know. Maybe it's
And we're bringing in more people at Slammiversary.
Yes.
I didn't get a chance to mention
Slammiversary to maybe see some of these names that we're going to tease for a second year in a row. Because remember, not all of them showed up last year after being teased.
They teased a couple WWE cuts, a couple women who were cut, maybe one who got all her stuff sent back to her in a garbage bag. I don't know, maybe one of them.
And I think the worst thing about it, too, is not only the fact that other people are carrying their titles from different promotions, but the fact that, like you kind of already hinted on, Rob, was the fact that these people, even though they have the titles, they're in different promotions, but they're not mentioning it at all in on their respective brands. And I feel like if I'm Impact, at least if our own roster is not going to have these titles, at least be promoting it on their respective brands and, you know, get Impact more exposure. I feel like in with Impact being so involved with a lot of these intermingling pieces of the crossovers and stuff, they're the ones who are, I mean, not being hurt the most, but the titles will be taken away from their show, and then there's being nothing else to really promote Impact.
Do you think TNT might have some say about them mentioning another brand? TNT...
Supposedly TNT made them pay for the Impact spot last week promoting the pay-per-view. That was what was going around last weekend, was TNT made Impact pay for their own TV ad.
And the other thing, too, that I almost kind of thought of, and maybe it's not as big of a deal, and that's why it maybe has not shown up too much, is different, and again, copyrights or stuff with titles and what each television station has rights to with certain products, like maybe that's why some of these titles aren't showing up. But I mean, that's only just a conspiracy or thought on my end.
I do think TNT has something to say about not giving Impact their name or their too much of a mention, because I think TNT spent a lot of money to bring AEW to their channel, and they've actually interfered in their booking before, their booking process, because they wanted to see things done, because they're protecting their brand TNT,
I would hope they're not going to, like, obviously they're not going to want people to say go to Access TV, like all this stuff. Like I get that part of it, but I would hope they're still able to mention it. I mean, it's a big deal that could be a much bigger deal if they'd actually promote it properly. And it's just, like I said, I think the fact that it was a taped show is playing into this. But now you've got to wonder, so Omega, the triple champion, is in a tag team match next week, which is also taped, and we believe was taped before he had the Impact belt. So, I the one thing I liked is that Omega appeared in the limo without any of the belts,
which
was the right call. Don't show just one. But what happens now when he comes out for his match with Nakazawa against Moxley and Kingston next week? Like, does he just have the AEW belt? Is he going to start carrying around the AAA belt? Going along with that, too, somebody just mentioned in Moxley, like, oh, by the way, he's got a match with Yuji Nagata in 2 weeks, which is, I think, is awesome, but so random. And like the way it just flashed on the screen Wednesday was like, what?
Yeah, no.
Like, where did this come from? Why aren't we why aren't we doing something more with the announcement? Or why don't we ever acknowledge that John Moxley is the IWGP US champion? Like, they just, like, every few months, it's like, oh, by the way, he's got this belt, we're going to let him defend it. Like, what? Like, if it's going to be defended on your show, like, just let him have it all the time or something. I don't know. It's very weird with these crossovers.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like the match he had with Kenta, building that. But I think he got more time with that, at least on Impact or on AEW. So, yeah, no, I agree. We were in discussion when the show was on this past week, and I kind of pointed out a few things I thought was weak booking, but that's just my opinion. There's a lot of influence going into everything they do. But I think, I just think that I would love to be able to talk to someone who's in charge there and ask them why do they refuse to mention Rich Swann by name, or even have him do an appearance before that pay-per-view, or at least, I mean, when you're going to have someone ram a bus, why is it a mobile home, or no, it was a, why not have Rich Swann be involved with that, since they were set I know TNT had no particular thing to gain from that or the outcome of the pay-per-view. So we'll see.
It's just, there's so many different things going on. Like, does Omega care about this guy or that guy? Does Moxley care? Like, now is it like, are we talking about promoting Blood and Guts, or do we care about the Impact pay-per-view, or Double or Nothing is a month away, less than that now? Like, there's too many different focuses that, like, do we, like, is it going to be Omega and Kingston at Double or Nothing? And if so, can we maybe just, like, go to that?
Yeah.
I mean, I know they're, like, kind of building it, but there's too many different pieces, and then we got to see what Omega's doing with, what is that, Under Siege for Impact, or whatever the next Impact Plus special is. Like, it's just, there's too many different focuses right now, and I know we're not in this age, and we talk about this with WWE a lot, but like I personally want pay-per-views to matter, especially when a company only does 4 a year, which I think is great. I don't want 12 a year or more than that with AEW, but like I kind of wish the timing of Blood and Guts to me is weird.
Yeah, it is.
Like,
big time,
you got a huge pay-per-view coming up. Like, let's put the foot down and like start pushing toward that pay-per-view at this point. But this week is going to be so weird with the one live match and then these taped matches. And then it's going to be like, oh, by the way, we've got a pay-per-view like right now.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, and that's the thing is that's the thing about AEW is they have like these in-between pay-per-view big shows that they try to create. Blood and Guts is a little bit too close to the next pay-per-view. Also, they say it's going to be War Games style, so I guess we'll see that. And, you know, and up until last Wednesday, there was only one match announced for that show. Now we've got a couple other ones that are going to be added to it. But that's next week. Let's go to break on that because there's something else I want to talk about that happened on the Impact pay-per-view. And we'll do that right after this. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Man with Danger Boy, the Artiste, Furby, and you, and Brody Lee music we're coming out to. I did want to mention we got to see Darby Allin this past week on AEW, and Darby Allin wrestled in the last match against Ten, which I thought was a really pretty good match to end the show on. I thought it was a lot of fun. Darby Allin always has the sense that he's about to lose like most of the match, and then he'll pull out like one of those hope moves, and boom, it's over. But then he came out, and the coolest thing about that was they honored Brody with the armband holding it up at the end of the show. I thought that was pretty cool. And
my only gripe about the finish there is that I don't think Ten's shoulders were even on the mat.
Yeah, you know what? There was a three count that was going to happen there, whether his shoulders were on the mat or not. I think that, Darby is like, I think he's got the most defenses now for that title. I think he's 7 now that he had, and he seems to have a pretty big one every week now. So I thought that was pretty.
First of all, I'm happy with the Brody stuff and all of that acknowledgement, and it's cool to see, you know, how Ten has evolved and stuff. I didn't necessarily need another Darby main event. Like, I don't need a title defense every single week, and I don't necessarily need it to be the main event every single week. To me, it's getting a little too repetitive where I get they're trying to push him to the moon right now, and like Sting's out there but doesn't really do much with him anyway. But like, there's so many people. I feel like there's the same cluster of people on the roster who are on the show every week, and a lot of people are falling more and more by the wayside that like we're forgetting about other pieces of the roster that should have more involvement. It was repetitive again with like with Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky coming out and all that stuff, and I don't know, at least that won't be the main event next week. I know that.
Yeah, I was gonna say, and also I think it's setting up Sting and Darby Allin to tag maybe at the pay-per-view against Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page there or something. Obviously Sting got beat up, so he's part of it, so obviously he's going to be back in the ring again, which is not a bad thing.
The opening match of Dynamite, real quick, when we talked about, I know you alluded to the Brian Cage Hangman Page.
We talked about that.
Which I think, like, I'm in favor of a slow build for Hangman Page. He hasn't lost in a while. There was a little bit of dirty stuff at the very beginning, right before the match. Like, I was okay with that finish because Brian Cage has really needed that. I think Page will be fine in the long run. Is this setting up, however, the pay per view? Are we going to have? Let me think here. Christian Cage and Hangman Page against Brian Cage and Ricky Paige Starks or something.
Yeah, find like, another age in there, some sort of age.
Getting so confused with the Cage.
Diamond Dallas Page is a special guest.
Diamond Dallas Page, you know, the brother, you know, of those, of Ethan Page, right? No, I. Yeah.
And then Paige will come, like, female wrestler Paige will come commentate it.
And it'll be in a cage.
Yeah, in a cage. The Page in a cage.
Cage and Page against Cage and Starks. I don't know. One thing is not like the others here.
I'll say one thing that I disagreed. We discussed this and I disagreed with how I felt that came out. And the only reason I think is because I think Adam Page, I thought for the longest time we were going to build up to him versus Kenny Omega and make it a bigger deal than the last time they wrestled. But if you have him losing, you know, I mean, maybe unless they're putting it way in advance and we're going to get way a slow burn build up to that. But I think Adam Page is like one of the probably the hottest commodities that AEW has. And it's like he's over big time. Maybe he needs a crowd. I don't know, you know, but I think he's over big time. And I
totally agree with you on that. Like all of that, I agree with. I just think it's not going to happen at Double or Nothing. Maybe because they care so much about TV, it'll be something that happens on a special Dynamite or something, or we're talking about All Out like Labor Day weekend. Like there's plenty of time. He still looks strong in the match. Like I don't think it'll hurt him that much. I think people will forget that he lost that match within a few weeks. And like I said, I think Brian Cage needed something, and I don't know. Hangman Page has to be the guy that takes it, but with what we were talking about in the last segment, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens here because Omega has all these titles and what order is he going to lose them in?
True, true.
And more than anything, I think it will look terrible if he loses the Impact belt before the AEW belt. But I don't see him – there shouldn't be defenses of both together anymore. So very curious to see what ends up happening in terms of the – like chronological order of all of this coming up.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too after he won it. It's like, okay, now that kind of puts you in a weird position because if he does lose the Impact title before he loses the AEW, then it weakens his AEW stance. But if he loses the AEW first, he loses AEW first, then he can lose. I mean, and then you never know about New Japan. Those titles are, you know, because we didn't even know he had it, I think, or, you know, I mean, until they wanted to
the
talk
AAA
about
belt.
It. Yeah, I'm sorry, AAA, not New Japan.
Yeah.
It's like,
I mean, I think too, though, like there's been so much thought out there of like, all right, Omega's got the Impact belt, he has it, whatever. But I think people think like he's, you know, not going to be there too often. Obviously, for Impact, he's only got to show up like every, 6 weeks or something for some tapings. It's not that big of a commitment with their current setup. Obviously, it would be much different if they were touring or whatever. But I mean, maybe he's going to have that belt for quite a while. So it's, I don't know. Be interesting to see how much Impact uses him, and if he's going to have that belt for a while and he's going to defend it and stuff, then I think AEW needs to start acknowledging it much better.
I agree, and
he's not just going to turn around and drop it in a month.
No, but they haven't yet. So and they haven't really acknowledged too much about him wrestling for another organization as well. So except for having Don Callis in there every week, and you know Don Callis is part of Impact. So yeah, you know one thing I did want to mention, one more thing about the Impact pay per view is we got to see the debut of W. Morrissey, which you guys might remember as Big Cass. And Big Cass, if you remember his history in the WWE, him and what was the Big Mouth's name?
Enzo
Amore.
Well, I remember one thing about Big Cass is he kind of got a nice push when Enzo got hurt and he had to wrestle the singles for a while. And he went in there and he wrestled great. And I think, you know, it opened the eyes of a lot of people in the company about he was, you know, a solid wrestler all around. And so then, you know, but then Enzo came back and they, of course, had to do their, you know, I don't know, sing along with Enzo every week and then eventually broken up and then they had to split and they both got fired. La, 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 la. And nevertheless, up till a week ago, then all of a sudden, and we've heard more about Morrissey, W. Morrissey, William Morrissey. I think it is a, you know, it sounds like almost like an agent or something, you know, but, you know, we heard about how he was coming back and he was showing people that he, you know, he had no problems, you know, because I guess he had some alcohol problems. And everyone has problems in life, and he had some alcohol problems, and he got past them. And so he came out and he was brought out by Violent by Design. It was Violent by Design. He took Eric Young's place because we know Eric Young blew his knee out. And and we, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and because they taped 6 weeks at a time or whatever it is at Impact, they needed to put someone else in the match. And so, Ferbs, how did he do? How was that match?
I thought he was pretty impressive. He looks in incredible shape. He had been starting to take some independent bookings over the past month and a half or so. But, you know, this is some great exposure for him. Luke Gallows or Doc Gallows, whatever he's going by now, has had him in his Lariato Pro, his own company and our promotion. And he's been really, really behind W. Morrissey and, you know, trying to get him some additional work and exposure. So I think, you know, him being a part of the team on Impact now is you know, just going to further give him more eyes.
So he's not so soft, is he?
Not anymore.
Sorry, bad joke. What do you think, Danger?
Well, it's good to see him rebound from his past issues, and it looks like he's really gotten a hold of his life, and he's ready to do this again. He looks great right now. He looks fantastic. And like you said, he was at one point going to get a very large push. He was going to go one out. I mean, he was supposed to go up with Daniel Bryan when Daniel Bryan first came back from his injury and then had the issues backstage and just took the quick pin. So he's had people want to push him before. If he can get everything together, I mean, he's signed to Impact now. I don't know for how long, but it's good to see him back. It's good to see him doing stuff. And he was always the better one to listen to out of the group. Cause even though he was just tall, it was still better than that other idiot.
Yeah. Well, you know, somehow they're going to find a way to bring him in. The other guy in eventually or something.
No, please no.
Yeah, that's what I said.
No, I'm happy. I agree with that. Like, I think Cass looked or whatever, Morrissey looked good.
Yeah.
I need to see a little more of him in the ring to see, like, how much potential I feel like he really has, I guess, because I feel like I've forgotten so much about his matches from the past. But I don't want to see Enzo, but happy for Morrissey. And I don't know if, like, it made sense for him to show up and replace Eric Young at the pay-per-view. I don't know whether or not it makes sense for him to be in that group with Diener and Doring and them going forward, but we'll see.
We'll definitely see. And one other thing I wanted to mention is just a couple of the finals from that pay-per-view, by the way. Trey Miguel beating Sammy Callahan, getting the second longest match on that pay-per-view. It was the last man standing. And it's like Sammy Callahan is kind of like the guy. He's like the gatekeeper, you know. Someone's coming in and he wants, and the Sammy puts him over. It kind of makes him bigger in the company. And Trey Miguel actually is a really, really good wrestler. And I'm glad that he stayed with Impact, because I don't know if he would have fit in with MSK in NXT there. But we had Brian Myers defeating Matt Cardona, Battle of the WWE guys who do a podcast, our former WWE guys, pardon me, who do a podcast together. So it was there was a lot of great matches on the pay-per-view last week. And if you missed it, I'm sure you can catch the replay, Fight TV, amongst other places. Deonna Purrazzo defended her belt against Tennille Dashwood. Finn Juice defeated the Good Brothers, so to get to keep the titles on another team who's from New Japan, but you know, comes back and defends them. But definitely, it's a solid pay per view, and you definitely, you know, if the thing about Impact is, it makes sense why Morrissey came back there too, because it seems like if you're going to get back into spotlight, you can start with them and be on a short term contract, and then get boosted by another one of the companies when they start realize that, you know, this guy's doing everything right now. I'm still curious as, like, the Good Brothers, how I see them more on AEW than I do on Impact at times. But they do have their own show on Impact or on Access TV every once in a while, which is actually pretty funny if you ever get to watch that. But on that note, we got a break again. I know I've talked way too much this last end of the segment, but we got to come back. We got some news, lots of news to talk about. And more. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Come back to I'm the Cash Man. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm here with Danger Boy, the artiste Rob Sanderson, and Furby. And I'm not going to make you sing along. We haven't done the sing along in a while. I guess Jericho got a little bit of a break, and now they're not singing along as much as they used to his song. But we're back here talking things on the world of professional wrestling, as always. And one thing we kind of hinted at towards in the first segment, was about questions about TNT. And so, Rob, can you tell us a little bit about what the NHL did this past week?
So the NHL announced that they the second half of their new broadcast rights for the next 7 years. The NBC deal is up at the end of this season. We already found out like a month ago that the first half of those rights were going to ESPN/ABC, the whole Disney group. And then we were waiting to see what the second half was going to be, and it ended up being Turner Sports, which is, of course, TNT, TBS, and such. So obviously, immediately that brings up the question of AEW being on TNT on Wednesday nights and potential preempting. Obviously, there's already been situations with the NBA. And as a hockey guy, I'm very interested to see how the NHL and the NBA work together on the same network, considering how incredibly similar their schedules are.
Yeah, their seasons run.
Time of year and everything.
Their seasons run concurrent, so yeah.
Yeah. It's very interesting to see that. And I'm not going to go on a whole hockey tangent, but I'm interested to see how they do with the coverage, because their whole first night announcing it didn't go that well with having Shaq name some teams and then putting up a graphic of an Edmonton Oilers captain who retired 6 years ago when they thought they were putting up a picture of Connor McDavid.
Oh.
So there's some work to do there.
Oh.
But more than anything, that brings up the question, like we said, about Dynamite and if that could impact AEW at all in the future.
Definitely.
But I don't really think it will.
We'll see. I mean, if they're cramming more sports onto the channel, there's always a bigger chance.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously, Tony Khan came out this week and said that, you know, they have the contract for another 2.5 years with TNT. They're in that Wednesday night slot. Obviously, Turner could ask them about moving, but they don't want to move to Mondays, and moving to Friday would be a disaster in a lot of ways. And so, I don't know. You have to keep in mind that, you know, maybe there's – we don't really know what the split will be for hockey in terms of TNT, TBS. TNT is usually the one that's only ever mentioned. And we also have the second – what's been listed as a second TNT show for AEW coming up that's supposed to start in the fall, maybe 1 hour. Is there a chance that maybe that ends up on TBS instead with how crammed TNT is going to be with stuff? So there's a lot of moving parts still.
I don't think that would be a bad thing, because we saw a lot of AEW on TBS after they debuted. They would redo reruns on TBS at night. I definitely don't think it would hurt, because I think those two networks are probably just as strong. You know, those two channels are just as strong as each other from the network. So
I watch more TNT, but I feel like TBS is still kind of a bigger deal to a lot of people. I mean, I know we're not in like traditional cable world and stuff where, you know, people here would pick the Braves as their favorite team because they could watch them on TBS on their Channel 6 or whatever every night.
But, that's right.
Dating myself, I guess. But obviously there's history of wrestling on TBS and Saturday nights and stuff. So who knows what'll happen there.
Hey, if I remember those days of the Braves being on Channel 6, it's not too old.
Good.
Yeah, but of course he has memories. When
but
he
does
was
any,
like,
anybody know who Andrew Ference is, the captain of the Edmonton Oilers from 2015 that TNT is promoting as part of their big announcement of, we've got the NHL, but we don't know what superstars to put in one graphic as we announce it.
Yeah, obviously not Shaq, okay.
Shaq, and I'm already nervous about the ESPN side of this too, so this is going to be interesting to see. A lot of people hated on NBC, and obviously there were issues there crashing into NXT possibly getting preempted and stuff, and always an issue. So,
well, we'll see what happens. But I remember that came out early, and we knew the NHL was moving. We just weren't really sure for exactly where it was until just a few days ago. So,
Well, and the one thing I want to mention quickly that I was happy that people immediately started to bring up on Twitter is TNT Turner is going to need somebody to be kind of their studio anchor for NHL coverage. We'll see what it ends up looking like, but they have not had the hockey in the past. They don't have an established crew to bring in. I don't know what it's like in terms of getting people over from NBC with their contracts, even though they're not going to have hockey anymore, but could this be maybe come the fall where we see Turner go out and offer a contract for somebody to do some hockey hosting and some wrestling hosting in Renee Young Paquette, whatever Ooh. You want to call her.
Yeah.
Because to me, that's perfect. She would be great with hockey studio coverage and some AEW stuff. And I think it's the perfect hire. So hopefully that happens.
I don't know if you follow her Twitter, but did you see when she was running around in the skates in the jersey around her pool the other day? She's like, I mean, she puts up this quote, like, people think I don't know hockey. And she's like in skates and she's in full gear and she's skating around her pool with a stick. And she looks like she's like, she's handling a puck while she's doing it. And it's like, I had to look at it twice because I wasn't sure who it was. And then it's Renee. You know, she's huge.
She knows her hockey. She's a proud Canadian. She's done some color commentary for the Vegas Golden Knights. I know after I had Brody do that game with me, there was some talk on Twitter of like, who would be next? And she had said she would be interested in calling a game or whatever. And then, of course, Vegas did it, whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, I just think she's got to be back on TV soon. And we knew she was kind of destined to do bigger things. And compared to what she's done, moving from The Score to WWE, like, if you're a network host on TNT doing National Hockey League, AEW, all this other stuff, like, to me, that just it makes perfect sense.
Oh, yeah.
I would much rather have that than, I don't know, a lot of other options.
Well, she lives in Vegas, so that's why you got to see her do the Knights stuff. But and she was in full Knights gear, by the way, when she was skating. Go find her Twitter and look at the video on it. Or maybe it may have been her Instagram. I can't remember if it was one or the other. But I just know that she, very impressive for a woman who's like, 8 months pregnant or whatever.
I feel like it might have been an old clip.
It may have been. It may have been. You can't tell because it was such a baggy uniform, you know? We don't know.
We'll see. I just think she's somebody like, I mean, for years I've been saying like she was so good with like WWE didn't know. I don't know. They did the right thing in hiring her in the first place, but they should have done whatever they could have done to keep her. And maybe she was just always destined to not be able to be kept there, like to be a bigger star. I mean, obviously people throw out the ideas of like someday she wants to have like a Regis and Kelly type show or something like that, whatever. But that would be a way that the AEW could kind of get her a little bit, because it seems like maybe they wouldn't necessarily be able to get her to, I don't know, join the show every week on the road or whatever. But
well, maybe if she gets to travel with her husband, who knows? But Mr. Mox. But that being said, that I think that would be a great thing, and I didn't even think about that. But that's very cool. So we're going to do some news recap from last week. You might remember the story we told about Mickey James last week. Mickey James was released 2 weeks ago, and someone in the office decided to throw all her stuff into a garbage bag and send it to her, and then put that in a box and then send it to her. And she proceeded to post a picture on her Twitter saying, "Vince, is this what you guys do, you know, when you send my belongings to me or whatever?" And immediately Stephanie McMahon and Triple H both replied to that, saying that the person who did that had been fired. And, you know, I guess it wasn't any big surprise that the man who former head of talent relations, Mark Carano, was the man who was responsible for that and got fired. And this is a guy who you might remember from, was it Total Divas? He was like he was the agent that was dealing with all the divas during the first couple seasons of Total Divas. And a guy I personally have dealt with before, too, here when he was in charge of talent relations and they would come to town, he would be like, you know, he'd be the guy who would meet with the press and then bring out wrestlers and stuff. And but, man, so he's a man. And then all sorts of stories started coming out about him. And this is not the first time that this has ever happened. There's a lot of guys. Danger, can you expound upon that?
Yeah, there's to say that Mark Carano had no fans in the office among the boys seems to be the case. He pretty much everyone said it was about time, and it everyone could see the writing on the wall when he lost his head position, and that you know, they're going in a different direction. And it looks like Nick Khan's trying to get his own guys into WWE since he's taken over as a senior VP. But at the same time, apparently this has been going on for this may have actually happened to Mickey James the first time she got fired from WWE. And a lot of wrestlers said this has happened to them. It's nothing new. Mark Carano does not have a good reputation for being a good person. I'm not going to say any further because I don't want to get us any in trouble. Allegedly. There we go.
I will say people like Ryback came out and were like, you know, trumpeting this.
Well, I expect it from Ryback because Ryback hates everybody to the point where he put a Twitter poll up on where everybody wants to see him wrestle next and retire one with like 75% of the vote.
Well, how about Gail Kim spoke out about it too. And she's been gone from WWE for a long time, over 10 years. And she said she got the same treatment.
Yeah, so it is obviously was something.
I don't want to go all into it. I don't remember what we said on the air of it. I think I've never heard a good thing about Mark Carano and a lot of these people, to be quite honest. I feel like the shakeup is fine. I don't have an issue with him being out of a job, all of these things. I think the garbage bag thing is really over exaggerated. It's still in a box. If it had shown up, if all the same belongings had shown up in a box without a bag inside of it, is it different? Is it better? Like if somebody just tosses a garbage bag to you, or it's a dirty garbage bag, or they hand you just the bag, like, yeah, I get it. But like, they put your stuff in a bag and then the bag is put into a box and then it's shipped to you, it's FedExed to you, it's dropped off to you, whatever the case is, like, I don't think it's that big of a deal. I think this got so blown out of proportion, but if it means that somebody who nobody likes is gone, then okay.
Well, I will say that Mark Carano was fired. Also, fired director of talent relations, Nicole Zioli, John Cohn, who was senior manager of talent relations and former and also manager of publicity and corporate communications, Joe Villa, and Mead Russ.
Hey, John Cohn, I thought he's still there.
He is.
He got brought back.
Yeah, he got brought back as a referee. You know,
he got his old position back as well.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, and he's working pretty much right under John Laurinaitis as the number two.
That interesting, because see, John Laurinaitis, a lot of people attribute to John Laurinaitis coming in as, you know, maybe the first the first crack in the foundation of these people that all got let go. But dealt with a few of them in my life, and I just say that things come around, you know, it's karmic. So we'll just say that. And on that note, we're going to take a break. You are listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic, MJF. Yes, sir, you are better than me, and you're also way younger than me. But we are back here. I'm the Cashman. I'm joined by Furby, the artiste, Rob Sanderson, Danger Boy, and you. And I want to do some quick news in this last segment, because that's usually what we do, is we catch up on the news. I want to apologize first and foremost to former WCW wrestler and broadcaster Steve Mongo McMichaels. I know I was mean about something about him a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about when he was coaching the indoor team that played outdoors here in Rochester, and I tried to get him on the show and he wouldn't come on. And now it's been he revealed this past week that he's been diagnosed with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. McMichaels told the Chicago Tribune he was diagnosed about 3 months ago. We wish him the best, but it is a debilitating sickness that eventually leads to death. And I'm sorry, Steve. I didn't mean it. Okay, bro? I didn't wish any bad things on you, so it's not my fault. But, Danger, you say he has good attitude?
Yeah, he's still joking and stuff when he was doing his TV appearance afterwards. And it's good to see him have a positive attitude still. And he's like, you know, it could be worse. Lou Gehrig was in the middle of his career. I'm in my 60s now, so...
Yeah,
he looks at it that way.
It makes a lot of sense. Best of luck with him, and you know, we'll definitely keep following him. You know, wishing him luck. I know that there's a lot of medical miracles happening nowadays, and maybe one could happen there. Some other news: WWE unveiled the latest class of WWE Performance Center signees. We've got a few Saray, who you know you may have seen a couple times in the last couple weeks on NXT, hyping and actually debuting, I think, last week on NXT. Sanja George, 24-year-old from India with a 5-1 MMA record, is going to be starting. Jennifer Mitchell, Cantu Iglesias, a 23-year-old powerlifter from Mexico. Hideki Suzuki joining the WWE PC coaching staff. And Matt Farley, he competed on Australian Survivor, Champion versus Contenders, and wrestled as Matty Wahlberg. And that's Stephanie DeLandre, an independent wrestler from Sydney, Australia. So they're obviously not they're international wrestlers coming in. We'll see how what they do with them. I'm pretty psyched because they've done a pretty good job with a lot of the international wrestlers already, getting them on TV as quick as possible. Anyone have any feelings about any of those people? Do you have your names familiar whatsoever?
No, literally never heard of any of those.
Hideki Suzuki,
the one from Australia, the name rings a bell, but I don't, but not really. Okay. So no,
well,
I mean, of all the recent classes, like this isn't one that's like super exciting, big indie name, whatever. It's a lot of athletes and such.
That's what it looks like. So. Yeah. They're all like power lifters or MMA fighters. So, Comcast is crediting WWE and The Office, the TV show The Office, with a boost in signups for their Peacock streaming platform. They noted that in quarter one that Peacock added 9 million signups during the first 3 months of 2001. If you remember, the beginning of March is when WWE went to there. So the service now has 42 million members, and they do give WWE a lot of credit. This is good news. One thing here, Peacock expects to have the entire WWE library available for viewing in time for the SummerSlam pay-per-view in August. So you have to wait that long to catch up on the stuff you haven't, you know, you haven't watched yet. But
and when are they going to organize it and add in descriptions and jump to matches and all sorts of stuff that we're missing? At least we got some Superstars episodes from the beginning of 1994.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Happy about that. But otherwise, this is it's awful.
It's terrible. It takes me forever to find something I want to watch.
When they move it to 990.
I watched an episode of WrestleMania the other day, though. That was good.
When they move it to 999, they better be up to where the network was, okay? But it's at I think it's $4.99 a month right now. So Braun Strowman did something this week that's never been done in WWE before. He's the first WWE superstar in the history of WWE, WCW, and ECW to compete in televised singles, tag team, and handicap matches all in the same night. And maybe it was a fluke. I mean, Braun got added to the main event of the, what's it called, WrestleMania Backlash? the new series of WrestleMania pay-per-views. And he did do it this Monday. So kudos to you, Braun Strowman. And we mentioned earlier on the show, John Moxley is defending his IWGP United States Championship. That's in New Japan Pro Wrestling on May 12th edition of Dynamite on TNT. He's going to be taking on Yuji Nagata, whom Moxley called out on social media a couple weeks ago. And pretty much it was like the RT said, it was a surprise when they announced it. They just kind of squeezed it in on the show.
They really squeezed it in. I feel like it could have gotten a little bit of a better announcement or hype that there was going to be an announcement or something. It was just randomly like, here's a match for Blood and Guts. Here's a match for Blood and Guts. And by the way, Yuji Nagata, we will see in a match on TNT for the first time in 23 years.
And that was in between all the Inner Circle stuff that was going on. They had, the Inner Circle and the Pinnacle face-off for Blood and Guts, and it's going to be a War Games style match, so I'm kind of excited about that. Two men start it. Sean Spears came out, demanded that his team receive the advantage due to being coaxed into the match in the first place. It was nice to see Sean Spears actually do some mic work. Doesn't get a lot of opportunities, and there's a lot of guys in that company who don't get a lot of opportunities, so you have to enjoy it while you get it.
Well, especially when everybody's in a stable, and you've got a manager in the stable and a big talker in the stable, he's not going to have too many chances to talk, so it is good to see that opportunity for him.
Definitely. And it was nice to see I love it that his wife, whatever she's going by now, Cassie Lee, was posting it on her Instagram while he was in the middle of the ring doing the – I thought it was pretty cool. Former WWE superstar, speaking of Cassie Lee, her former partner, Billy Kay, or she was Peyton Royce, and now she's Cassie Lee. Billy Kay is now Jessie McKay. That's the name she'll be going by in the indies. She trademarked it, and that's her real name, so – we got to get out of here, but one last thing before we go. WWE is reported to hoping to start testing weekend live events this summer and they're preparing for it to return to ticketed touring later this year. So what do you guys think about that? It's got to happen, and things are starting to open up.
Yeah, it's good to see them moving that direction. It looks like they're going to be the rumors are that SummerSlam is going to have a crowd. And I would suspect that's their start of kicking it back off. And you might not get the live event schedule that they had before, but I wouldn't be surprised if by the fall they're running all their TV shows, the ones that have the big arenas live with the crowds again, and we actually see some movement on this.
Yeah, and I think, you know, because we're getting full capacity football games in the fall, I think why not have wrestling back out there? We got to get out of here. I want to remind you guys, if you want to meet Lex Luger today, he's going to be at Eastview Mall at the brand new, what's the shop called again, Ferbs?
Heroes Hideout.
Heroes Hideout, and he'll be there 2 to 4, I believe. Maybe it's 2 to 5. Selling at
2 to 5,
doing you know, pictures, autographs. Go up there and, you know, maybe you can ask him to give you the don't ask him to give you any finishing maneuvers or anything, but he definitely is in Rochester for our brand new opening of a new memorabilia store that you can get all sorts of things. But we got to get out of here. I want to thank Artiste, thank you Furby, thank you Danger Boy for being here, and we'll see you next week, folks. Same bat time, same bat channel.